This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to Literati, a comedy podcast about books and the idiots who write them. I'm Colin, the bookworm O'Brien.
And I'm Michael, the one who is smarter and sexier than Colin, Wolf.
And we just want to give a quick shout out to all our dedicated listeners.
Hi, Mom.
Now, as we stated, this podcast is about books, so you might be wondering, what makes Michael and I qualified to host a podcast about literature?
Well, I gotta just say that truly anyone is allowed to make a podcast about whatever the hell they want, and there's really no oversight or qualifications needed to do so.
You can honestly claim to be an expert in whatever. No one checks.
But if we have to be pedantic about it, I'm qualified to host a podcast on literature because I once started a book club to seduce a stranger, but I found the book so unbearable that I gave up on reading and love forever.
And as for me, I once threw a copy of Crime and Punishment at a seagull that stole my meatball sub right out of my hand. My hope was to hit the seagull right in the beak and knock my hoagie free, but I fully missed. The seagull got away with my lunch and my copy of Crime and Punishment. Well, that soared right over the pier and landed smack dab in the ocean.
And so now you know that we're qualified to talk to you about literature.
Yep.
But in addition to that, you also know a little bit more about us. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I mean, don't you feel like you really know us now? And doesn't that make you feel comfortable, safe in our capable hands as we set out on this literary adventure? Us, your trusted leaders, and you, our doting followers.
You know what, Colin? I want our listeners to feel like they know us even more. I'm going to share a little bit about myself. Now, I've never told anybody this. It's kind of personal to my heart, but my favorite band is the Wallflowers. They're a rock and roll group, pretty good. I think there's four or five of them, and I really think that Jacob Dylan is one of the best singer-songwriters around.
Wow, Michael, our listeners are going to feel like they know you so good after sharing that.
Oh, thank you. It was pretty brave of me to say. Colin, why don't you give them another taste?
I like the Star Wars prequels.
Really? Colin, you know we're recording this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be the only person to ever say that on record.
Well, now, Michael, to be fair, I've never seen the original Star Wars trilogy.
What about the new ones?
No. Okay. I haven't seen those either.
Maybe you should check out some of those before you judge the entire series, and it might kind of affect the way you see those movies.
No, I don't think I will.
Have you seen any other movies ever?
No, actually, the only movies I've ever seen are the Star Wars prequels. And I love them. I mean, are most movies like this? Are the most movies this good?
I'm going to have to just push on because I can't really take that information in right now because I'm getting very angry.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
But I will say that you really hit the mark by sharing something personal and embarrassing. Now, our listeners have got to be having intense feelings of closeness right now to both of us.
Yeah, they probably feel like they've known us their whole lives.
Mm.
And that's so important with a podcast.
Mm.
I mean, it's such an intimate experience. And you, the listener, you're only comfortable being intimate with someone you feel like you truly know.
And just as important it is for you to feel like you truly know us, it's equally important for the reader to feel like they know an author before they even open up the book.
Yeah. Trust must be established, and that's why on the back cover of every single book, there's an About the Author section.
the About the Author is so underrated, and yet it's so important. It's how we get to know the storyteller before they tell their story.
You must take as much time with the About the Author as you do with the novel itself. So, I mean, honestly, maybe more.
It's true, and don't put it off. Writers are always procrastinating on writing their About the Author until the last minute, and that's a mistake. And that's why we wanted to share some of our About the Authors that we've written with you for inspiration.
Michael, why don't I start?
Sure, that's what's scripted.
So here's my first one. Hey, what's up? I'm Colin. I love roller coasters, but swimming in the ocean absolutely terrifies me. I once backpacked through Mexico and Guatemala with some friends for a month when I was 23. And when I was 14, I got a concussion swing dancing.
Wow.
Pretty good, right?
That's concise.
Yeah.
And it paints a picture of who you are, the people that you've interacted with, and who you've kind of been over the years.
Yeah, and they know that when I go swing dancing, I mean, I really go for it. Yeah. I'm willing to put my body on the line when I go swing dancing.
Did your dancing partner also get hurt?
Oddly enough, I've been the only one to get concussions whenever I go swing dancing.
This has happened a number of times?
This has happened a lot, actually.
So something in your technique is hurting just yourself.
Yeah, I guess... I've just been saying, like, I go for it, but maybe, yeah, there's something in my technique.
You should really take up tango.
I guess so.
I think that's a safer
dance.
Maybe
it's that I'm trying too many backflips with swing dancing. Does swing dancing have backflips?
Doesn't have to, no.
No? Because I also can't do one, and that's usually when I just land smack on my head.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, it's worth it for a good dance.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my About the Author. I hate flowers, so you never gotta buy me flowers. Potato chips, however, that's another story. I hate lying, too. Pretty good at pub trivia. I've even won the big money a couple of times. Guilty pleasures are neighborhood drama, fancy cupcakes, and binge-watching Law & Order.
Wow, I like that. Can I ask you a trivia question?
Sure.
Who liked that about the author? Your options are A, me, B, me, C, me.
I'm gonna go with D, my father.
Correct.
Okay, wow, that would be a first, but I'm very excited. My one reservation, Colin, is as I'm hearing these, it sort of feels almost like a dating profile?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm hearing that. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I did pull mine directly from my OkCupid profile.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I pulled mine from Ted Bundy's dating profile.
Okay, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is kind of my hope when I got into writing was that, you know, I'd be able to sort of impress someone with my writing and sort of fall in love. So I just figured, why not just put in my dating profile on the...
If they like the book, then they'll open up the About the Author, say, who created this thing?
Baby.
Okay, so maybe we can keep some seduction in there, but we can also expand the About the Author.
I have other options, too.
Sure, you want to lay one on the line?
Yeah, okay. Well, here's my other... This is my other... Sort of... This is my other About the Author that if we don't like the dating profile one... Here goes. 6'1", 167 pounds, 32-inch waist, 30-inch inseam neck, 15.5 inches, sleeve 32-33, shoe 10.5, jacket 42 long.
Wow.
It's all right?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mean, it paints a picture of my measurements, definitely.
And from that, you know what they say, the measurements make the man.
Exactly.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
And at the very least, if they're reading that and they want to make clothes for you, they know how.
Hey, yeah, if I could, like, get a deal with, like, Joseph A. Bank or something like that, you know, like, if they're, like, seeing my measurements and they're like...
You're skipping those steps of the back and forth where they're like, what's your inseam? Now they know. Okay, you ready for mine?
Absolutely.
Wolf speaks fluent French and has a master's degree in international business. He's an avid golfer, snowboarder, skier, and dirt biker. Wolf enjoys being the center of attention and has been known to frequent nightclubs where he enjoys showing off his high-priced vehicles, boats, and other toys. Wolf has ties to California, Arizona, and Utah. Michael Wolf is wanted for murder and armed robbery in Phoenix, Arizona. He should be considered armed and very dangerous. If you have any information concerning this person, please contact the FBI's toll-free tip line at 1-800 yada yada yada. That sort of, it goes on from there, but...
I really like that. But can I just a question, and this is not a note one way or the other, just a question. It does sound a little bit like a, you know, like an America's Most Wanted sort of ad.
Oh,
like
you got my reference. That was a clever allusion.
So that
to
was intentional.
Yes, it was an allusion to a poster that's up in several police stations, banks, and schools.
Okay. Did you do this stuff that is...
We don't have time. We got to bring the guest.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, this okay. Yeah, no, okay, let's move it on. Yeah, you're right. Done. You're right. Let's move it along.
Now, to take a hard left turn, we are so excited to introduce you to today's author. While most of our readers are quite familiar with the page, this author's a little bit more familiar with the web page.
We're talking about the internet.
Yeah, we have for you one of the top coding legends. He has written over 1,000 lines of code, and I'm told that's pretty impressive. Please welcome to the podcast, Mark Vigent.
Hi, what's up? My name's Mark Vigent, and I'm pretty much a number one engineer of all time. And all day, I'm writing code on the internet. But today, I'm going to be sharing you some writing that I've done that's not code. It's actually like really good fiction. Here we go. Harry Potter and the Lord of Code, a.k.a. Harry Potter 8, a.k.a. Mark Vigent presents, finally, a good Harry Potter book. And by book, I mean fanfic, but also I mean book, because I will publish this, but, like, not physically, because physical media is dead, lol. Subtitle, uh-oh, looks like there's a new wizard in town. Chapter 1, The Boy Who Kicked a $$$$. As they ran through the Department of Mysteries in Book 5, Order of the Phoenix, strong and powerful Mark Vigent turned to weak emo Harry Potter and said, "You freaking idiots are doing it all freaking wrong. You should be stupefying the Death Eaters then breaking their wands. Hello? Are you seriously not going to watch Neville's wand get snapped in half and not figure this out? Break their wands or they will literally kill you, LOL." Hermione was so impressed with this idea that she immediately fell in love with Mark. He's obviously the strongest wizard in the world. Right here in the book, there's a jealous girlfriend meme where my name, Mark Vigent, is on the woman passerby, Hermione is the distracted boyfriend, and Harry is the jealous girlfriend. Just then, a freaking dragon showed up, being ridden by none other than the super strong Daenerys Stormborn. All the Death Eaters and Whiz Kids were like, "Holy shirt!" But not Mark. He was chill and very cool. "Hello, Mark," said the Mother of Dragons. "Will you join Gandalf, Peter Dinklage, and I on a quest to rescue a whole ton of children?" "A freaking course," said Mark, obviously. "I freaking love children." Stupid whiny Harry Potter was like, "But why him?" And Daenerys was like, "You freaking idiot. There's Mark freaking Vigent, the boy who kicked a $$$$. "Wow," said everyone as they remembered the story of how Lord Voldemort killed a bunch of babies, but Mark was the only baby who freaking jumped up, punched him in the nose so powerfully that his nose freaking fell off and exploded into a fireball, and he then dunked a basketball all in one cohesive movement. "Sick," said Ron. "You were in the Olympics." "I sure was," said Mark, who was on the dream team and did better than Michael Jordan. Hermione was like, "Whoa, how are you so good at everything?" And Mark said, "It's simple. I have the magic of code!" And he pulled out his laptop and started dazzling them all with his fast typing. Clack, 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 clack. "Wow, he's making the Matrix actually happen," said Mace Windu, who was also there and also impressed with his skills. So Daenerys, Gandalf, Peter Dinklage, Mace Windu, and Mark flew away on Drogon the dragon. Harry and all the rest were like, "What the frack?" But, like, whatever. There were children in danger. Harry Butt and his friends could wait. Gandalf turned to Mark and said, "You're quite cool." And it was awesome. Chapter 2. Bacaw! That's the sound the dragons make. Bet you didn't know that. Whatever. Bacaw! Said Drogon. He was right. It was a tricky situation. 3 million helpless children were being held captive by a legion of evil demon warrior imp paladin warlocks. Everyone was like, "I don't know what to do." Okay, and then in the book, we have the meme of Vegeta shouting, "He's over 9,000! Mark Vigent pulled out his laptop and started frantically typing. "For each, paren, demon in legion of evil demon warrior imp paladin warlocks, end parenthesis, curly bracket, new line, terminate, paren, demon, paren, semicolon, end curly bracket." And just like that, the power of code destroyed them. Wow! Meanwhile, Harry Potter, Hermione, Ron, and all the Death Eaters were stranded in the Department of Mysteries. The Death Eaters were scattered because the dragon spooked the jukes out of their boots. Hermione was like, "Yo, Harry, what's up with you?" And Harry was like, "Dude, you said that Mark Vigent was the strongest wizard of all time." And Hermione was like, "Yeah, because he is, and I also love him." As you can imagine, this made Ron stutter like a slowly dying motorboat. He was fricked. Hermione knew exactly what Ron's deal was, but she didn't give a frog. She was just like, I want to be with Mark Vigent and team up with him because he's the best wizards, you biatch. Just then, Mark Vigent telepathed to them. Shut the frick up for 1 second, Harry stupid, and Ron idiot. It's time to use your powers for good for once, lol. It's morphin' time. Alright, I'm going to skip the next couple of chapters to get to the good stuff. Chapter 6. Boinky, boinky! Now that they admitted that they were tired, Hermione wanted to spend some one-on-one time with Mark Vigent. She wanted to get sexual. That's in big ASCII letters. Daddy likes to get sexual. That was in those ASCII letters with flames, said Mark Vigent, king of loin. Harry Potter and loser Ron were like, ugh, dude, why do we have to be here? Because they were weak. Hermione shot them out of her epic mech phoenix mouth. Patoo! Now they were alone. Just two giant flying robots in space. Mark Vigent said, let's go to my tech dungeon. Chapter 7. Said Hermione, getting physical. Yum, said Mark Vigent, tasting the sexuality. Said the two of them, wizarding each other's witchcraft, if you know what I'm talking about. I love you, Emma Watson, said Mark Vigent. She replied, you're smarter than me because you went to Cornell and Brown sucks. And also Natalie Portman is also not as smart as you, even though she went to Harvard, because Harvard sucks and Cornell is the best. Amen. That's all I've written so far.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you so much.
So happy to have you in the studio.
Wow, I'm so freaking happy to be here, honestly. Thank you.
I gotta say, there was a lot that went right over my head, terms and words I didn't know, but then there were a lot of references that I did pick up on.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of characters out there, and honestly, I am looking for publishers because, like, this is, like, a really good idea, like, honestly.
Yeah. It's a fantastic idea.
We do need to check with our lawyers and just make sure that legally we are cleared to have both Harry Potter and I believe there was some Game of Thrones, some Star Wars, yeah, Matrix, like, and Power Rangers.
At the end of the day, every character is original at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, all we're saying is that there's a slight chance that your reading of your passage might just be one long bleep. But just, you know, I mean,
highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. But, you know, there is a slight chance. And we just want you to warn it. So when you're listening to this later on, you're not like, what's going on? It's like, because you use characters that weren't your own. But, you know.
Well, honestly, I made them my own because.
I'll say.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like when somebody gives you an opportunity and they say, make it your own. And then you kind of did that. You took something that was out there. And what I like is you made it better.
That's exactly right. Because the thing is, how many times have you read Harry Potter book 5 and you've thought, why weren't they freaking breaking wands?
100 times.
And then how many times were you thinking, why the frick doesn't Hermione use a time turner every day?
Every single day. And that's the sort of thing.
How come Voldemort never freaking got a time turner?
I'm thinking even in Game of Thrones, why don't they just, if one person had a gun, that would just make so much sense.
It would just make so much sense. And this is what I finally am saying.
And I think that's, just to bring it back to writing, I think when you're writing a book, the characterization, the world you're building, that's not as satisfying as having just something that kind of breaks through all the clutter and is a quick fix, gets rid of a lot of the conflict.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The way I approach my fiction, which is like, not even like most of like how I'd even like spend my time, honestly. Like,
no, you do mostly coding.
I'm a code lord. Yeah. I am the code lord. And basically, my thought is books are memes.
Whoa. Huh. Interesting.
Now, what do you mean by that?
And no one owns anything.
Oh.
Okay.
Everything is for everyone. And if you want to make good things, then you take them and then you make them.
You're sounding a lot like the Napster guy.
Oh, frick.
That makes me think I've spent way too much money on all the stuff that's in my house then. You mean everything? Everyone just owns everything? Why am I spending
all according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody owns everything. Don't get me started.
I don't I don't know.
We don't have to go
down
that path.
Let's get back to memes. We don't have to talk about this.
I would love to, because I have so many things I want to just jump right into and pick your brain and say, what does this mean? What does that mean? How'd you get this great idea? But I want to start with, Mark, who are you?
Wow. Thank you so much for freaking asking. I'm pretty much a number one programmer of all time. Pretty much a number one engineer of all time.
Okay.
Like a JavaScript shogun.
And I don't want to stop you, but by engineer.
But you're stopping me.
Yes, I am. You've called me out. So you are a train driver?
No. Honestly, that is like the first time anyone's ever said that to me. And like, that is so hilariously random. Like,
yeah, I can be pretty random. And that's mostly because I got hit in the head with a garage door.
And that's also who you've been published by.
Yes, yeah. Random House. Yeah. And every time I send them a manuscript, they're like, Michael, LOL, you are so random. Rejected.
What's the name of that guy who got a train rail shot through his head?
Oh, he's got a funny name. And
a
then he
train rail shot through his head?
Yeah, he's in every single freaking psychology class you've ever taken. Yeah.
Oh, wait, it affected his like brain chemistry or something?
His brain right in half and he became mean.
Yes.
He became mean.
It changed his personality and they took it out.
You're telling me he was super nice.
I wouldn't before say super
had,
nice. He still had tough
he had a
days.
Spike.
And his name is Phineas Gage.
Phineas freaking Gage, which reminds me of that horrible book about two boys.
Phineas and Ferb.
You're
thinking of Finnegan's Wake.
Okay, so this is exactly what I mean. Like, because when you have an idea, this is how you create new things. Because there's too many things.
Yeah.
And when you go on the freaking internet, like, the internet is made out of remixing and taking ideas and putting them in other places.
Would you say that
mashup culture?
Yeah. Would you say
girl
that
talk.
That's what I was gonna say.
What?
Like that fan fiction is sort of like the girl talk of writing.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be in my side project, because every engineer has a side project. Hello, ding dong. Is that fan fiction and fiction in general should be like girl talk, because girl talk is the only good musician.
I love this. This is
girl talk is the only good music.
You get everything you want. You get the Billy Joel and you get the Steely Dan. But you get the Miley Cyrus and you get the Steely Dan.
Because the problem with most music is they lack certain elements. Like Billy Joel, he doesn't have a good
dubstep beat.
He doesn't have good dubstep beat, but he has fantastic lyrics.
Rachmaninoff has a really good piano stuff, but he lacks Avril Lavigne's voice.
Yeah, and no good dubstep beats.
That's true. Now,
and if I could be honest with you, I don't know any of the artists individually who contribute to Girl Talk.
You just know it as it flattens it all
honestly,
down.
Honestly, you don't need to. As long as you know Girl Talk, you're fine.
Well, and that's why with the excerpt that you just read us, I was never distracted by thinking like, oh, hey, that's Yoda. Uh-oh, Michael Jordan's here. I just thought, here's this new world washing over me. And I was able to take it with fresh eyes. Now, I have several things to say. First, much like Phineas Gage, before I was hit in the head by the garage door, I was a doctor. And now I'm a podcast host. That's one of the few things that's changed.
That's a great pivot.
I also used to be 6'10". Now I'm 5'0".
Well, when you were hit in the head, it was like straight from above. Yeah. So it shrunk you a little bit.
I had what was called pancaked spinal discs.
Wow.
Now, but I want to go back to you. So an engineer, you're not a train engineer.
No, I'm not a freaking train engineer. I'm a computer science master.
So what is your day to day like?
Oh, yeah. Basically, every day I wake up at 6:33 and then I go back to sleep for another hour and a half. And then I wake up and I chug a 2 liter of Monster Energy drink. And then I segue over to Stoltis Network Solutions in Milford, freaking Connecticut, which is where Subway is based, a.k.a. the best sandwiches.
Where are you segueing from?
I'm segueing from my freaking house. Is it Stratford?
It's in Stratford.
It's a 30-minute segue.
Okay, gotcha. You have to go on the highway, don't you?
Yeah, I freaking go on the highway, but this thing has juice.
And you're juiced on Monster.
I'm juiced.
I've never seen a 2 liter of Monster. You must have a connection with the supplier.
I freaking do, because I always write cookies into all my websites that embed Monster ads on all all of your data.
Now, see, I love, if we were having this conversation 100 years ago, people would be saying, cookies, monsters? What am I on, an episode of Sesame Street?
Yeah, because Sesame Street was around 100 years ago.
Hey, I'm Random House, okay?
Yeah, you are. So what I do is I get to work and I go, everybody knows me because the second I walk in, I freaking belch as loud as I can, and the entire room smells of my vape pen because I blow out that shoe.
Wait, what flavors? You take a hit of the vape pen and then belch.
That's exactly what I do. My vape flavor is actually a custom blend of Lucky Charms dust and tamarind.
That sounds delicious. So that's just a great way to say, hey, good morning, everybody. Mark's here.
That's right. And I've basically been the only internal engineer at Stultis for 15 years. And they know me and they love me. And everybody, well, if they don't love me, they understand that I'm more powerful than anyone they've ever met.
And that's what's important. I don't need to be loved. I want to be feared, or at least known as powerful.
I am the Robert Moses of Stultis Network Solutions.
Oh, boy. The red lines are flying. Now, Mark, I don't want to push you even further, but I have yet to understand what your job is and what it is you do day to day.
So at about 9:41,
just gotta give me a big picture
inside the office. Then what I do is I segue into my code dungeon. I don't step off the freaking segue until I get into
conserving energy
dungeon.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting.
The dungeon.
Ooh. Is this a basement?
It is the corner office, and what I've done is I painted every surface black, light black, and I only have, well, I basically just bought an entire Spencer's Gifts, but except for the adult stuff, because that stuff's stupid.
Yeah, and yeah, so you have, is it a mall that your office is basically, I mean, your office specifically is just a Spencer's Gift, and the rest of the office is the mall?
No, my office is, it's like a normal office.
Did you transport a Spencer's Gift
basically
into an office?
Basically, I bought everything from Spencer's Gift, so I'm talking about lava lamps, I have about 16 black lights, I have that ball that you touch, and the lightning touches your fingers.
But it's inside the ball. Listeners, you're not going to get hurt if you touch this ball, the lightning stays inside.
You would never get hurt unless you touch it and I didn't let you.
So
then
you
would unleash
me?
The sword.
So do you have a sword in your office?
Yes, I freaking have. Which one is the better answer?
I guess I don't
the
know
best,
the answer
The best
to that.
Answer is a better question.
I have Glamdring. I have Ice. I have Oathkeeper. All replicas, duh, but like also I have a katana.
I wish my wife was named Oathkeeper, but unfortunately she is Oathbreaker, and I should say ex-wife.
Yeah, Michael's divorced.
Wow, Michael, you are like really experienced for someone so young.
I have lived 100 lives and yet I'm only 19.
You're 19?
I'm 19 years old.
Wow.
I hate to go on the record. I'm the youngest person published from my town.
Wow. What town?
Mink, Connecticut.
You're from Connecticut too?
Yes, I am.
Oh, frick. I love it. It's Connecticut.
It's so good. So you've got a
so I just
office
freaking
full of swords. How does HR feel about that?
Well, HR does, they bow to me.
Okay.
Do you make them bow? Like when they come to talk to you and then you just like break out one of your swords and you're like, bow to me?
That's exactly what freaking happens, Colin.
And I'm guessing you work pretty isolated for most of the day.
Oh, yeah. So basically, I've got surround perfect Dolby Digital in my apartment. And by apartment, I mean office, but I call it my apartment because I sleep in my parents' basement. And I've got 16 monitors. They're all 70 inches.
Curved? Are they curved?
Yeah, you better believe all of them are curved.
I love that. I love that was when I looked at the TV and I thought, what does this need? Curves.
And they're 3D.
And I love my curvy TV.
And I hate to try to bring this back, but Mark, just one more time, what do you do?
Okay, so then it's about 10:15 in the morning. And what I will do is I take my shoes and my socks off because I only want the most pristine germs.
Michael, I think this might be our fault.
Yeah,
we should have asked a more specific question. We're saying, what do you do? And
I'm pedantic because you know what? My whole entire life, I spend communicating to computers, and if you skip a step, then you break the code.
I just want to say, Mark, you can get off the Segway at any point and sit down. That chair is for you.
Oh, I'm not getting off the Segway because this chair is dirty and I don't want germs on my sweat.
That's fine. So I'm guessing you do computers.
I'm in a full Mountain Dew sweatsuit.
You Segway 30 minutes on the highway in sweats.
That's true.
It's pretty cold here.
Yeah, well, sweatsuits are the easiest thing to clean and also the easiest things to look clean when they're actually really dirty.
Are you one of those?
The first one of those I wouldn't say is true, but the second one I would say is true. Yeah. They look pretty dirty to begin with. Are sweats maybe the dirtiest looking clothes, like fresh off the rack?
I think they already look lived in.
Yeah.
Is that maybe the point? Are you one of those people who you're all about efficiency, like you're drinking Soylent because it's more efficient than cooking a meal?
I drink Soylent because Soylent is delicious, but I also eat Cheetos because Cheetos are delicious.
You drink Soylent for the taste.
Yeah. Have you tried Soylent tamarind?
I haven't. I had Soylent boysenberry.
Oh, okay.
And it was not good, but it was just the powder. I didn't have anything to mix it with.
Well, what I do is I buy Soylent and I pour it in a 2 liter of Monster.
Mm. That seems like it's getting your jolt coming in and your nutrients.
No, he didn't say jolt. Is Jolt even still around?
No, sorry, like a surge
I
of energy.
I do chew Jolt Gum.
I think Surge is also another soda. You're saying you have Monster, not Jolt or Monster, Surge.
And I drink Diet Mountain Dew because sometimes you want to lay off those cows.
That must leave you pretty amped.
I'm freaking... Okay, Amp is also another energy drink that I do not drink, even though they are owned by Mountain Dew, and I love Mountain Dew.
So, Mark...
You must get pretty coked up off of these...
I do not drink Coke. I do not drink Pepsi. I do not drink cola. I drink green. Anything that's green, I will freaking put it in my mouth.
You got to stay healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you never meet Shrek.
I hope I do meet Shrek because Shrek is the coolest and funniest thing. Have you ever seen a Shrek meme?
I've seen Shrek the Musical, which is on Netflix.
There's no way that you've seen Shrek the Musical.
Are the Shrek memes better than the movies?
Yes, you freaking think. Are you freaking kidding me? Have you ever even seen Shrek?
I'm just going to jot this down because I still have so many questions and fundamental stuff that we really should have even done in the intro. But I think maybe later what we do is we write some memes together.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Do you think
read a book when you could write a meme?
Well, you had a ton of memes in your fan fiction. Do you think that it's going to get to the point? You know how like some people are like, oh, the book is better than the movie. The movie is better than the book. Do you think there'll be a day?
Both are true.
Do you think there'll be a day where people will be like, oh, the meme was much better than the movie. The meme is better than the book.
Well,
don't even waste your time with the book or the movie.
If you love Forrest Gump, you're going to love this meme. Yeah. Falling down the stairs.
Riddle me this. r/prequel memes.
What?
r/prequel.
You're going to have to remember, Mark, that even though I'm 19 and Colin is pushing 21, we are in the literary world. So we're coming at this from different places. Now, when you say Reddit, you mean something. When I say Reddit, I'm talking about the books on my bookshelf.
Michael, I'm not talking about... Honestly, r/prequel memes is the best, most hilarious thing in the entire internet. It makes the movies, because the prequels are my favorite, but these are even better than the prequels.
So, Mark, would you say that you work in computers?
I don't work in computers. I work outside of the computer. I code on computer. I know nothing about hardware, okay? That's a big... Not everybody knows about hardware, Michael, okay? This is a big touchy subject for me.
So, but you're writing... So you're writing lines of code. Would you say that is similar to writing a sentence? And talk about it.
Okay. So are you familiar with the concept of hypertext?
I am not.
Hypertext is the idea of text that transcends paper. Paper is what freaking holds us back, honestly. Oh. So hypertext is a new form of expression. And when your computer and when you're writing and you're on the computer and you're in the zone and you're plugged in and you're tuned out, that's when you are writing and you're making machines and it is good.
Oh, plugged in and tuned out. That seems like good advice for any writer.
But not for your refrigerator.
No, you don't want your refrigerator to be unplugged.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, Mark, we're on the same page with that one.
Mark, you were just talking about how paper is what holds us back. And also in your fan fiction, your Harry Potter fan fiction, you mentioned the fact that physical media is dead. Is there any chance of physical media coming back, not holding us back?
Maybe in a retro style?
Retro style, sort of like vinyl came back for music.
Or the HBO show Vinyl. With future guest of the show, Griffin Newman.
Is there any chance of the HBO show Vinyl coming back?
Yeah.
The way that vinyl the physical
thing came back, or paper coming back.
Yeah.
Maybe because people in the future will be so sick of screens that they'll use paper as a, you're shaking your head. No.
Paper is yesterday's, paper's yesterday's news. Screens are yesterday's news. The next day is going to be about our, is inside of us.
Mm.
I'm talking about enhanced humanity. We're talking about enhancing the humans.
Wait. Entertainment's going to be inside of us?
Everything is going to be inside of us. We will be uploaded. Have you seen The Matrix?
No.
I've read the Bible. Is that the same?
It's a lot like the Bible, except, like, honestly, you guys are so not technical.
Mark, I would like to ask you what you think about the singularity.
Oh, wow. Like, honestly, it's...
Michael has the most smug look on his face after asking that question.
The singularity is coming, but honestly, I am going to stop it, seriously.
You're going to be the one to defeat our consciousnesses from being uploaded?
That's exactly right. Well, the singularity is honestly just when the robots will all teach each other how to be robots.
That's weird. That is not what I thought it was. But
no, the singularity is the moment when one robot thinks it's I'm a robot, and so now I'm gonna teach all the other machines to be robots.
Okay.
And
you're gonna stop that.
And I'm gonna stop it. Well,
how?
I don't know.
How?
Have you seen Age of Ultron?
I've seen the trailer.
I've seen Anchorman. Well,
I've seen the movie.
I don't know if me seeing Anchorman helps.
Take a look at Age of Ultron and then get back to me.
Okay. So, Mark, when you sat down, what kind of brought you from writing lines of code to writing lines of fiction?
Well, I just knew that I would be perfect at it.
Okay.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of characters out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not being used.
Mm.
Harry Potter, they stopped making Harry Potter and then they started again and it's bad.
How many were there? Only like 6 books?
There were 7 books.
7 books? Like that's... And it's just done?
And then it's just done. Yeah. And I say to myself, I want that character forever.
Who's going to pick up the torch? Who's going to carry this legacy on?
Exactly.
And Mark Vigen.
That's right. And I'm thinking to myself, there are characters that everybody loves. Like there's, there's Harry Potter. There's Legolas. There's
Uncle Ben.
No one likes Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben dies. Uncle Ben is boring.
Okay. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, but
Uncle Owen, was that it?
I'm thinking about Spider-Man's uncle.
Oh, okay, yes, I was thinking about Luke's uncle from Star Wars. It was Uncle Owen. Yeah, you know what? I'll stand by Uncle Ben.
Yeah, he was old and he died. Both of those characters were old and they died.
And it was important. Some would say that spawned
old people who die aren't important. What's important is Darth Vader. What's important is Darth Maul.
I'll also say that if an author, this is my feeling after listening to you talk about fan fiction and using all these seemingly discarded, unused characters anymore. If an author doesn't make it a point to kill off a character, it's fair game.
It's fair game.
Yeah. Fair game.
Because here's what I'm thinking. Okay, everybody knows about Peter Dinklage. Like everybody knows about freaking Thor. And I'm talking about Thor Ragnarok. Thor.
Yeah, we just got the cool haircut.
We should maybe just clarify one of those is a person, one of those is a character.
Well, but here's what I'm saying. They belong to us.
And the public.
They belong to the public. And there's the thing is that Darth Maul only shows up for like 5 seconds and he does all these flips and you're like, I want this character forever.
Have you seen Solo?
I would never see.
Because you might get a, I don't want to say anything, but if you like Darth Maul.
I love the Star Wars prequels. They're fantastic. I was talking about this in the intro.
So there you go. Colin loves the prequels. You like prequel memes.
I freaking love I love the prequels. They're my favorite ones.
So same. Absolute same. I would prequels say that, are my favorite ones.
Well, because they add so much depth. And you know what what the originals lack? It's effects.
Yes.
And when I'm Jar Jar Binks. Movies to see explosions.
Yeah, and Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks is such a funny character.
So funny.
And he makes sense.
He makes sense, and he's so funny. He's just good.
Now, do you think there's a place for Jar Jar in Harry Potter 9? And are you going to write that book?
Well, so Harry Potter 8 is like a continuous book that lasts forever.
Oh.
So it never ends?
Like the never-ending story.
Oh, crap. It already... You're right. That never.
But ending
story.
Here's the thing: Never Ending Story does have an end.
It does.
Someone's got to pick it back up.
I'm part of a class action lawsuit against
Michael and I. Are Never Ending Story?
Yeah. Yeah. Time to sue
or
them
taking
for
them
the
down.
Title.
It hurt me. I'm also trying to. I'm suing McDonald's because I got a cold brew from them, which is the best cold brew. But it was so cold it froze my hand. And my hand got frostbite, and I could no longer work
can you
at
shoot
the
ice
massage
out of it?
Parlor. No.
You work at a massage parlor?
Just at night. And it's just a little way to get some scratch and to get some real-world experience to
do
use
they mind
in my
it,
writing.
They mind it? You shouldn't be scratching your customers.
That's probably one of the reasons I haven't been getting a lot of shifts. Yeah. I'm nail first.
I like scratches.
I lead with my nails. So, Mark Vigent, master of code... I was wondering, when Hermione shot Ron and Harry from her mech mouth, did she kill them?
No, I think that's a really good question, Michael, and thank you for bringing it back to the work.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the question.
She was a mech phoenix, and she spit them out so that it just wouldn't be there, so that Hermione and Mark Vigent could get down to the dirty day.
Mm-hmm. Which and is...
What? I don't know what your audience is, but it's
mostly children.
Yeah, I think it's children trying to write.
So like really don't hold
parents.
Back. Don't feel like you have to hold back.
Mom and daddy boinky time.
Okay. I know what's going on there. Yeah. That's pretty exciting stuff.
I'm talking.
We're not talking about a kid's birthday bouncy house boinky time.
No, but maybe.
Now, have you guys seen Ready Player One? Because I got to say, your writing reminded me of that movie.
I've never heard
book.
Of that.
You haven't?
I've seen Anchorman 2. I don't know if that helps.
That kind of helps. In Anchorman 2, there's all the different news channels come together to do something.
Yeah.
I didn't see Ready Player One. I've heard of it.
I think you would really enjoy it. I think you are a bold author in the postmodern camp, because you are saying the rules of formal literature are just our playthings. Everything that's out there is to be turned on its head, to be brought together. We are aware of these different texts and we're combining them.
Yeah.
Was that part of your process?
Yes.
I knew it.
I mean, thank you for bringing this up, but I pretty much see my work as like pretty much equivalent to The Wasteland.
Mm.
Stephen King, book 3 of his Dark Tower series.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
It is so cool.
So, I think what's great is this: writing Harry Potter 8 gives you an opportunity to fix things that you didn't like.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Also, was the Mark Vigent character based off of anyone?
That's a really good question. Thank you for bringing it back to the work. Mark Vigent, the character, is different from Mark Vigent, the human being, because... In real life, I told you what I do for a living, and you guys have.
Could you really quickly recap it for our listeners?
Right. So basically, I wake up at 6:33 in the morning.
If you're gonna go through the schedule again, I think we can jump right up. I think you were at like 10:42 or something.
I'm around 10:42. Okay, yeah. So around 10:42, then I finally boot up the workspace, and I'm running Kali Linux. I'm also running Ubuntu.
What do you got, an iMac or?
No, I have 16 different computers for each monitor.
All curved, if I remember correctly.
The monitors are curved, and the desktops are also curved.
So are the desks.
There's only one desk.
What about your spine?
What about my spine?
Is it curved? Also curved?
My personal human spine?
Yeah. You have scoliosis?
I'm pretty sure every human who's good has scoliosis. Yeah.
Nice trick question.
I'm pretty sure that everyone has scoliosis and lice. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
So I basically sit there, and once everything is booted up, all 16 different operating systems, I start looking through my RSS feed, my Tumblr, my Twitter, my Reddit.
Sort of revving up to get ready to work.
I get ready to work because honestly, I'm just kind of like Ozymandias. Like, I need to have everything going on at all time because I'm pretty much super smart. I got the idea
look
from The Watchmen.
Look upon my desktop, all ye end despair.
That's right.
Who is that? Ozymandias?
Ozymandias, he's the smartest.
He's the guy from
Crazy Train?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The guy from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
No, you freaking guys. He's the superhero from The Watchmen who watches The Watchmen. He made an alien.
I would like to say, who watches The Watchmen? Because I don't think that movie did very well. So who watched The Watchmen?
I actually did watch The Watchmen. And I thought that there was the guy from the Prefontaine movies. So that was cool. Mm-hmm.
So how was your book character version different than your real life version?
Well,
you're just about to get there.
You know what I'm like in real life, okay? And you know how I spend my days.
Yeah, anything with an open mouth.
Up till about 11 o'clock, we know. But yeah.
Well, I didn't get to 11 o'clock. I was about...
Almost 11 o'clock. Yeah, so, yeah.
And the character in the books, he doesn't have a job because he doesn't need a job, okay? He's out there and he's solving problems because he's kind of like... He can travel interdimensionally because he's got his computer skills. It's kind of like... It's a little bit of reality mixed with a little bit of fiction. And basically, he's in there and he's a little bit more, I would say, a little bit more confident than I am. He is more assertive than I am, a little bit.
Okay.
Do you struggle with some insecurities, Mark?
No, I just think he's super confident.
Okay, so you're at
a
10.
Like a superhero.
He's at a 15.
Yeah. He's at an 11. Have you seen Spinal Tap?
Nice.
So you also, in addition to sort of using...
segue went over my foot.
Ow. Oh, sorry.
Sorry,
we've talked about how you write code and that translates into writing fan fiction. But also you mentioned in your story the magic of code, which also sort of crosses over with the magic of Harry Potter. I'd love to hear a little more about what you feel the magic of code is.
The magic of code is that you could do whatever you want to do. You could go online and let's say you wanted to, I don't know, freaking hack your brother's email address because he freaking calls you too many times and he tells you what his favorite movie is. And
he
does. Sometimes want to tell him like maybe my movie is a better movie. So then you take his email address and then you look him up on haveibeenpwned.com and you discover that he has been pwned. And then you take his website that he was pwned on, and you go on the dark web and you find the table of the hashes, and then you go to the rainbow table and then you see, oh, this is probably his password, and then you're like, oh wow, he uses the same password for all of his pages. And then you change his job on LinkedIn and then he gets fired.
Oh great, I got up to you get your brother's email. Can you do that again, but just a little slower for me?
Okay, so basically you take his email and then you go to haveibeenpwned.com.
Haveibeenpwned.com.
And you discover which websites he's been pwned on.
Discover which
websites. And then you look up those website data dumps on the dark web.
How do you spell pwned?
P-W-N-E-D.
And what's your password?
Okay, Jimmy Kimmel. I get it.
That's the password?
Yes, that is my freaking password.
Did it work? It worked. I'm in.
Wow.
I'm in. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, you pay for both Google Drive and Dropbox. Interesting. Now, Mark, I want to say that one of the things Colin and I have been dealing with recently is identity, lack of identity, or realizing we have an identity and just not liking it. And that has been summed up really well in our About the Authors. Mm-hmm. It's something that we've been trying to get better at. And personally, I feel like when somebody reads my book, whether they like it or not, I mostly want them to like me. Yeah. Everything I write is a desperate cry. Like me, oh, please like me. And
as it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to lure them in.
Yeah. And Mark, you've done a fantastic job about telling us about yourself, what you do. It couldn't be clearer. And so you just seem like the best person that we could ask to help us with.
Honestly, you're accurate. Thank you so much for...
You are so welcome. Thank you. Yeah.
So what do you think makes up, like, are there any rules or a formula to writing a great About the Author?
Yeah. Basically, you definitely want to have a picture of you touching your face.
Right.
Oh, okay. The portrait above the about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, yeah.
You need that picture. Yeah.
Chin, forehead.
What does it mean? What does touching the chin signify?
It signifies that you're a man who thinks. Mm. You're somebody who's got a brain. You've got a hand.
You're a Socrates.
Yeah. You're just like all the smarts.
I like to think that Rodan's when you're holding...
like Rodan's thinky man.
Yeah, exactly. Rodan's thinky man. Yeah. When I'm holding my head,
it
says...
that statue? The thinky man?
The thinky man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the thinky man.
Yeah, the thinky guy.
Live or online?
Oh, well, I've seen everything online.
Any good memes of the thinky man?
No, but you've got... I have a good idea. Okay. Here's a meme. Here's a meme pitch for you. Okay, so it's when mom asks you if you want waffles or pancakes, and then it's a picture of the Thinking Man.
Okay, great.
What if the about the authors were memes?
I have a meme.
There you go.
You have
okay.
a meme? No, pitch me I a have meme. A meme. A jealous girlfriend, and yeah. it's Juliet looking at Romeo, and Romeo's looking at a vial of poison.
Okay. I don't freaking get it, but it sounds good.
It's a reference to Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, I like that movie.
So, Mark, okay, so when I, in my picture, hold my head, that means my brain's so heavy I got to support it with
That's
my
exactly
arm.
What it freaking means.
Great. So, but when we're writing the about the author, what do we need to get? Because, like, I think it can't be too long.
Every superlative that's ever been used to describe
okay.
you.
Mm. Okay.
So, whenever I'm writing about myself, I make sure that everybody knows I'm a JavaScript ninja, I'm a JavaScript shogun, I'm a code lord, I'm pretty much the number one MySQL expert, I'm the strongest man in Norwalk. Whenever I go in Norwalk, I'm the strongest man there.
That's incredible.
That's your about the author.
Yeah. Strongest man in Norwalk. My about the author. So far it would be wet, scared.
You are really wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I like am genuinely concerned you're around so many.
You know
what
the problem is? I put my raincoat on inside out today.
Is the outside of your raincoat
soaking wet?
Always?
Well, I used to wear it the right way, soaked up a lot of rain. Then today I put it on inside out and all that rain wrung out on me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Me.
Yeah. I wear Innovator, that
would also be in my about the author.
I wear my raincoat underneath my like my other clothes.
Really?
Yeah.
Just in case you're sweating.
So it's like raincoat, first thing that goes on.
Yeah.
Button down shirt.
And why would you do
sweater.
That?
Just so like when the rain gets that,
soaks through.
I don't want it to get to the skin.
Gotcha.
It was not raining today. So why did you both wear raincoats?
Fell in a pool.
And I'm scared. So, okay. Let me see if I can. I got a lot of superlatives. So about the author for Michael Wolff. Michael is a wet man who is scared, but strong enough to write his truth. He is a lover of dogs and a hunter of waffles. And
good.
You can find him in his local Starbucks in Mink, Connecticut.
Okay.
Looking out the window and thinking about life.
You always, then the imperative, you okay. always end with a really hilarious last line.
Okay. Like, Michael is writing this in the third person.
That's good.
Or like sent from my iPhone.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Or like, I will eat any Cheetos you send me.
Yes.
And sometimes it's great when a joke is also true, because Michael will do that.
I will eat any Cheetos.
Yeah, any Cheetos that he gets in the mail, he eats.
I write to companies and I ask them to sponsor me.
Do you want to pitch me some more memes?
Yeah, let's see. I think I got another couple of memes. I mean, I don't want to get too far off from the about the author.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. I can also do my about the author.
Yeah,
so wait, how's your ending? What's your ending?
Okay, so, well, I don't really like what I said, because, like, okay, how about...
Your superlatives should be very, very cocky.
Okay, so, and then should full sentences or just, like, kind of bullet points?
No, bullet points. And you switch between semicolons and commas.
Colons.
And colons.
Okay,
because
great.
What you want to do is you want to make them understand that you have the... it's you
so
in
here we
control.
Go.
So,
oh, yes, go ahead.
Oh, well, so the first one was wet.
I'm going
right?
to scrap that and I'm going to replace it with jacked.
Oh.
There we go.
Okay.
And then semicolon, bullet point, tough as shit.
Wow.
Okay.
And if you wanted, if you're jacked now, if you want to keep like a hint of truth, like a half truth with the wetness,
yeah.
say lubed up. Because, like, you know,
great.
Like a jacked, lubed body.
Yes, oily.
Oily, yeah.
Okay, so
you're not lying because you are wet.
Yeah, but they don't know what I'm wet with.
Yeah.
They don't.
Next one would be aggressively curious.
That's good.
That's good, right? It shows that I'm an intellectual, but I'm kind of annoying about it.
Yeah.
You want people to understand that you're the kind of person that you want to read what they have to say, but you never want to be in the same room as them.
Yes. People
yeah.
love when they know that someone is jacked. They like to know that they're also aggressive.
Yes.
People love that.
I think I'd like to, my last two would be irrational.
Okay.
Followed by hashtag resistance.
Hashtags are perfect because that'll make you trending.
Easier to
There's
find.
There's not enough hashtags in the about the author.
And then I should end with a funny joke, which is...
you should, before you do the joke, you also... okay, so you have your superlatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then the meat of it before your funny joke.
Right.
Is,
oh, we haven't even gotten to the meat.
We haven't got to the meat yet.
Yeah. Should I say the other books I've written?
You list all the awards you've gotten, okay. But if you haven't gotten any awards, you make them up.
Okay.
This is also, by the way, free tip, how you ace a Google interview.
Okay, shit.
Make it up.
Don't they ask you a lot of like riddles and questions?
Yeah, you just make it up.
Okay.
If you don't know it, you make it up.
That's creative. That's how they do it. That's how Steve Jobs invented Google.
That's how Steve Jobs invented Google. And part two, the hash table is the answer.
Hash table, baby.
So you say all your superlatives, then you say all the awards you've won.
Yeah. Okay. So I have won the Junior Pulitzer Prize for Smart Little Boys. I've won the Nathan's Hot Dogs, Most Hot Dogs Vomited Back Up.
Good.
At the end, hot dog eating contest.
Which were more than you ate at the contest, too.
Well, breakfast came up. Breakfast came up. And then I had...
You had hot dogs for breakfast the day of the hot dog eating contest?
I really got to give it to Michael. He practiced right up to the last minute.
And I do have to say, although I forgot that was that day. So I was just having my normal breakfast.
What's your normal breakfast?
Two hot dogs with syrup. No
bun. No, do you dip the bun
and
in
also
water?
Not sausage. They were hot dogs.
I toast the bun, and then that's sort of like a little, it's like a toast. It's honestly like toast.
Okay.
And this I put jam on the good. Bun. And by jam, I mean mustard.
Ooh. I was hoping it was jam.
And then I guess last award would be I won loudest man in stairwell during my company's fire drill.
Wow.
I made the most jokes during my company's fire drill. And they gave me an award. I was the guy who, when the warden was coming through, this was at the massage parlor. It's a company. And the guy was saying, like, everybody, don't use the elevators. I was like, elevator? I hardly know her. I was just making jokes the whole time.
And just
everybody
examples of a couple of the
care.
Other the jokes that you made.
I was like, hey, is it getting hot in here or is it just the fire?
Honestly, scrap everything we've said. Make that anecdote your entire about me.
Okay.
Every joke you made and then the award.
Yeah. I'm very loud in coffee shops too.
Just loud in stairwells.
You have to be. Because if you don't assert yourself, then no one's going to respect you.
Can I do my about the author?
Colin. Can you?
That's a hilarious joke, Michael.
Can I use that at the end of my about the author?
I don't know. Colin.
Can you?
So here's my about the author. Lives at 276 Silver Pond Road, apartment 3.
Okay.
That's specific.
Colin, is that where you freaking live?
Yeah. My
only note would be a little bit more info.
Okay.
How tall are you? What's your phone number? Social security?
Because I was going to say maybe give the city and state too.
Honestly, yeah. Colin, like that's really like insecure of you. I feel like people are going to know your address and send you anthrax.
Oh, insecure in that way. It feels very... like secure in myself.
Yeah, I think it's actually really confident to put that
pretty,
info out there.
But I see what you're saying. I'm
cocky.
Cocky, but not secure. I gotcha.
Should he put down whether or not he's circumcised?
Is that relevant to your writing?
Yes. My writing, yes.
Then definitely.
But he's writing a new Talmud.
Yeah, you should definitely include whether you're circumcised and how much they left on.
Yeah, well, mine's sort of 50-50. My parents couldn't decide. So they went halfway.
I'm just happy I wasn't at that ceremony.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was you remember it?
It was last week.
Yeah.
I thought it was a weird choice to... You hired me to cater it, and I, of course, brought hot dogs. And not that many people ate them.
Wow. No. That sounds really awesome, though. You can withstand the pain of being circumcised as an adult man.
No, I did not handle it graciously. If that's what you're asking.
He did not go down easy, as the rabbi said.
Yeah. Because I did, it was still my parents' choice, not mine, but it was when I was,
how old are you?
Pushing 21. If you remember Michael's
22 and 3/4.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
I mean, 20 and 3/4. Shit.
Yeah.
And we can take that out, right? That's the one thing that I would like to edit from this podcast.
Yeah,
when I said Colin was 22 and 3/4. Great.
Well, it's a sort of a Benjamin Button case, so I'm going the other way. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm pushing 21, but the
so you want to circumcise now so that by the time you're a baby, you got a nice clean dick.
Yeah, that's my main concern. Well, my parents' concern. Again, this was not my choice.
You don't want to put, because Benjamin Button has to go back inside.
That's how the movie ends.
he dies and then he has to go back inside.
Well, it depends on when you believe life begins. Because he has to go back inside. He dies at conception. So he has to go back inside and then his parents have to have sex. And the minute they climax is when he dies.
You know what?
Now this sounds like a book.
This is a fan fiction.
Let's write some
story.
Benjamin Button
honestly,
fanfic.
Honestly, I'm very into this.
Yeah. I think it could be good. I think you've got a character who's going through the world, seeing everything happen, but let's get more stuff happening.
Everybody's
to him.
Still talking about Benjamin Button.
BB, baby, BB. Now, Mark, do you want to give us your about the author? Or we could all work on it together.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much, you know, the number one JavaScript wizard, JavaScript lord, MySQL warlock.
I would say how many, like, just list how many, like, partners you've had. Maybe how many friends you've got in the office, then?
Just people you've met.
There's Michael. And what's your name again?
Characters you like from memes or
Frick.
TV.
Okay, all right,
or
all right. Well, yeah. There's Thanos, and then there's
Loki,
for sure. And then obviously Yoders, and then there's
Harry Potter.
But Harry Potter's an emo wiener.
So what if it's like Mark Vigent is a Shogun code guy? Best friends with Yoder, emo Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanos.
I like that.
And then we sort of get a sense of the world in which you play.
Yeah, because basically everybody is inventing their own story.
Yeah.
And your story is your own story.
Ooh.
Mark, what do you think of Gamergate? I just kind of want to get you on the record before we wrap up.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I have a funny take on Gamergate. Every time there's a gate in a game, I get freaking pissed off.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about Gamergate.
Yeah, that's true. And I would like to say no comment.
Here's what I freaking say about Gamergate is that in Star Fox 64, you have to drive through gates, and I just have a very difficult time doing that.
Colin, was there anything you wanted to say?
Yeah, what's Gamergate?
Okay, we'll talk after. I have some YouTube videos to send you.
I've seen Anchorman 1 and 2. I don't know if this helps.
Well, Mark, we're just about at the end of our time here, but I have a question that we like to ask everybody. If you have any advice for young people who are looking to write and get into the world of fiction.
I have some freaking advice for you. Here's my freaking advice is that it's so easy. And just start doing it. And because if you want to learn how to write fiction, read memes. Because memes are the future. And if you don't, here's a question for you, Michael.
Sure, yeah.
How easy is it to read Great Expectations?
Pretty easy, if I've got a month.
Psych! How easy is it to read a meme?
Oh, that's way easier.
So easy.
I could read it in 3 or 4 weeks.
And so that's, imagine if they made Great Expectations into a bunch of memes.
I could read so many more books if they were memes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm freaking saying.
And that would be so much more impressive to other people.
It would be. In fact, I think that's actually a pretty good idea to try to make a book into a bunch of memes.
I think so, too. I think that's what our literati comedy Instagram account and Twitter account should be doing. And it's crazy that we haven't done that yet.
It's just a great idea, but it's just too bad that we're not going to.
Probably not. It would be so good if we did. Maybe you could help us with that.
It would be fantastic.
Okay. Here's a freaking book meme. It's somebody who's really excited to read about Moby Dick, and they're like really pumped. And then the next panel is just very small text. All of the description of how you gut a whale. And then the last panel is them being like, nice.
Yeah.
So and like then, that's then funny.
You've
that's
read
funny.
Moby Dick.
That's funny. That's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Let's see. It's very difficult to come up with a book
name
off the top
Mark,
of my head.
What can we look forward to from you in the future?
Well, you can freaking find all of my, you can find my writing on my NeoCities page. If you go to markvigent.neocities.org.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can find the first chapter of my book.
That must be probably your only website, right?
Michael, I have at least 40 websites. You can head over to markvigent.com or markvigent.directory, which has links to all my other websites. But I've got markvigent.net, markvigent.org, markvigent.co, markvigent.info, markvigent.usa. Not USA,
just
US. MarkVigent.news, MarkVigent.xxx, or you could check out my monthly show, Internet Explorers, and my website is
internetexplorers.live. We don't do plugs on this show.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
But what is that website one more time?
Internetexplorers.live. It's got right. very bad SEO.
And I also, I have another question, one final question as we wrap up here. What was the sound that a dragon makes again?
That's what I thought, yeah. And finally, we'd like to wrap up with a segment that we always do every time on this podcast starting today called Final Words. And what we do is we actually do a title and opening line of your upcoming book, and we'll each do one of these.
Okay.
And you can just take a second. If you want, I could go first because I'm very excited
for my
upcoming book. My upcoming book is called All the Dogs I've Loved Before. And the first line is, as I lifted my head from my pillow, I noticed my whole room was full of carcasses. Carcasses of dogs that I'd killed accidentally? Well, we'll find out. So that's the title and first
really
line of my
book. That's tantalizing. I like that.
It kind of makes you want to read more, right?
I cannot wait to read that.
Yeah, thank you. It doesn't end well.
Should I do mine?
Yeah.
Then okay, great. So my upcoming book is called The Lover's Whisper.
Mm.
And the first line is, "Hey, Janice! I'm over here!" So.
All right. So that one's good.
We decided to do this today because apparently
just to set the scene. It's a first date. It's at a crowded bar. It's a blind date, and so
you don't whisper right away. No, you got to build up to that.
Yeah, they're not lovers yet. So
is that a freaking fog machine?
Yeah, sorry, it's been on the whole time.
No, that's freaking badass.
We're trying to set a mood, and yeah, I don't know if it worked.
All right, well, mine is called. My next book is going to be the Lego Star Wars screenplay. First line. Darth Maul, Salacious B. Crumb, and Ganondorf are hanging out at the cantina when all of a sudden Mark Vigent walks in and he's got a whole bunch of bricks and he starts building a super Death Star that's only meant to destroy bad guys, but then he also destroys some good guys. And what's going to happen when they find out? Plus, he also has an Infinity Gauntlet.
I love that. And also, if you turn this into a book, then they can turn it into a movie. Because I've been like, stop it with the Lego Batmans. We need Lego Star Wars prequels.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm saying about Lego. Lego Batman was the best Batman movie because it had the
Voldemort was in it.
Yeah.
Voldemort was
in
it.
And so the
that movie was literally like what inspired me to make my own movie.
I wish we'd talked about that during the episode.
I honestly think that the Legos Star Wars prequels could be the best Star Wars movies.
Well, now that we've done the segment that ends the show, I think it's about time to end the show.
I'm sorry. I feel like I just discovered a whole trove of new stuff to talk about.
Well, we still didn't really do any book memes, which is what I was so excited to do, but it's really hard to do it on the spot.
Yeah. And if just real quick before we end, could you tell us what you do?
Okay, so at about 10:50.
Never mind. All right.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.